When you follow through Paul's argument in Romans 1-8, he starts by absolutely condemning all people, by saying that all of us are serious sinners, not a little bit. And he quotes a number of Psalms about the sinfulness of people and applies those words to us all. And then he reasons forward. He says, yep, we stand in the dock and we're absolutely condemned, and yet our advocate is also our judge. And we are counted righteous, we are justified, and therefore we who are sinners, absolutely proven sinners, shall be saved. And then you come to the end of the section, Romans 8, where he's absolutely glorifying and glorying in the grace of God and the certainty of his salvation. But he only gets to that point through having shown that we were standing in the dock absolutely condemned. And if you wonder why you don't have a sense of real flame of praise within you for God's grace, if you wonder why you can't quite get into ecstatic worship from the heart, if you wonder why you maybe lack a humility that you sense you ought to have, you wonder why you don't have a stronger motivation to give your all, your everything, for God and Jesus, well, this may be part of it, that you haven't actually stood in the dock and been condemned. You've not allowed yourself to do that because you've kept on justifying your sins. Oh, but actually, well, it was them, not me. It was because of her. It was because of them and that situation, that, this, that, and the other. All of which may be true on one level of sort of analysis, but all the same, you and I have sinned and sinned grievously and fallen short of God's glory. Now, when you look at some of the verses that Paul quotes to convict us, and you go back and look at the context, you'll be somewhat surprised. Take Psalm 36 as an example. This is David reflecting really about Saul and wicked people in Israel at his time. Take Psalm 36 verse 1. An oracle is within my heart about the disobedience of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. He has one wicked person in view, and I suggest that that person is Saul, because he says this person is characterized by disobedience. And that's exactly why God condemned Saul, because Saul was not obedient to God's word, and therefore God said that I have far more pleasure in obedience rather than in offering me sacrifices. And that disobedience is of the sin of witchcraft, etc. He goes on in Psalm 36, verse 3, the words of his mouth, again he has a specific individual in view, Saul, the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Well, of course, Saul did begin good and he began well, but he ceased from that. He went the other way. He ceased from God's wisdom, turned to his own wisdom. He turned away from God's word as it was to him through Samuel's prophetic word and ministry to him. So, words in Psalm 36, which are not about humanity generally, but are about specific high-profile sinful people like Saul, are picked up by Paul in Romans, under inspiration by God, and are applied to every one of us. And that's very telling. And when you look at the other psalms he quotes, it's the same kind of story. The idea is, look, don't look around the world and think, yep, we're basically okay people, pretty weak, but yeah, we're not bad blokes kind of thing. But there's some real bad ones out there, King Saul and so forth. You are the bad one. That is, I think, what the Spirit is doing by picking up these words which are specifically about wicked individuals within Israel, such as King Saul, and saying, this is you all, this is all of us. That there is, in that sense, no gradation of sin. I do think there are degrees of sin, but when it comes to the idea of being condemned or saved, we have all sinned, so we are all condemned, and in that sense there is a kind of an equality. Now, until you're willing to accept that, and to let God convict you, And to cease from your own pride and your own self-justification, you will not quite get in the program, which is outlined there in Romans, that we who are desperate sinners who should come to the day of judgment and be condemned are amazingly not only let off, we're not just let off, we are. It's more than that, it's more profound than that. If we are in Christ by baptism into him and faithful continuance in him, then we are counted as him and we are justified. And the judge and the advocate for the defense is on our side. And we can therefore come to that great flame of passionate joy and devotion which Paul has at the end of his entire argument. But I'm saying you'll only get there if you have the humility to accept that you are not simply a middle-of-the-road, fairly nice person who just slips up now and again, but is basically, you know, in your meaningless opinion, as it were, a good bloke. You give yourself good bloke status. No. You're not judged by yourself. You're not judged by your own conscience. You're judged against God's standards. And until you make that connection, that I am desperate for his grace, then, as I say, the rest of the wonderful program that leads to this triumphant position in Christ, you won't feel it. You may know it, and you may go through the motions of singing words of hymns and songs that glorify it, but you won't know it to be true for yourself until, firstly, you have accepted your own desperate situation before God.